With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to another episode of the Championship Roundtable podcast. You can find the show at Championship Pod on Twitter. I'm Louis Shackshaft. What we're going to do is go straight to Jake Jackman, who's going to talk through his big wins and surprises from the most recent games.
Yeah, so it's quite a good weekend of football once again, as it always is. I think one of the biggest wins for me, I think we both tipped it on the preview last week, was Bardsley to beat Middlesbrough.
Yep,
huge,
we did
that one. We spoke about how they've you know, slipped up in these games a lot recently, but they managed to get the win at the weekend, and it was an important one. They're probably the better team. If you look at the stats, and if you look at the highlights packages and things like that, it does seem like they were the better team on the day, and it was important for them to back up that win over Fulham with a win in a game where they perhaps would be fancied to win, and they've done that, and it's managed to move them off the bottom of the table, so that was crucial. They're still 5 points off survival, but you think that they're starting to click there, and no team is going to want to go and face them at the moment, and that can only be good for them. They're also dragging Middlesbrough back into it a little bit as well, which is crucial. If they'd have lost, you know, we probably would have written them off again, so I thought it was a big one that they managed to win there.
Yep.
Middlesbrough once again in trouble, and with Wigan winning as well, which I'll move on to, is another big win. I thought Millwall have been really good recently under Gary Rowett. I thought they were going to go there and win, but Wigan managed to get the job done, and I think that they're going to have to rely on their home form, and especially picking up wins at home. If you look at their away form since they got back in this division, it's been awful. They haven't won. They've only managed to win 3 of their last 38 away matches in the Championship. So, you know, they're not going to get too many points on the road. They might get the odd point here and there, but they're not going to win many. So it's crucial that they win the games at home. And this was a winnable fixture for them, and they managed to do it. It was quite an even game. Even Millwall had their chance as well. Either one of them could have won it. But Wigan managed to get the job done, and they got managed to keep a clean sheet, and that'll be a big thing for them going forwards, because they have been conceding a few goals this year, so it's important that they managed to get some sort of form back, and it was a big win, pulling them closer to survival. 3 wins in their last 6 now, so they are picking up some form, but Luton have got 3 wins in their last 6 as well, and obviously Barnsley have got 2 wins in their last 2, so the teams at the bottom have really put trying to get back in there, and they seem to be relishing their role as the chasers rather than the chased, and it's shaped up to be a really entertaining finish to the season at the bottom of the table. So they're the two standout big wins for me. I'll let you touch on any that perhaps have a bigger say on what's going on at the top of the table.
Well, to be honest, Jake, all mine are from the bottom of the table as well. I know you've picked out 2 there, but my other big wins, again, right at the foot of the table. So the other one for me would be Charlton's 3-1 win over Luton, which we previewed last week, and we said this essentially is a 6-pointer. We'd both predicted a Charlton win, I believe, as well. And that moves them quite firmly above the playoffs now, with a 5-point gap from Wigan. So that was a huge win. But then you've mentioned already that Luton, yeah, with them losing that, they're 6 points adrift off Huddersfield. They really needed to take something from that game. So, yes, massive win for Charlton for me in that one. And a game like that and a result like that might, you know, it could be the difference between staying up or not for Charlton this season. And then the other one, again, another team at the bottom who are doing well and picking up points, is Stoke, move themselves further adrift from the bottom three, having beat Cardiff City 2-0. I think that was a very good result, particularly how Cardiff have been on a great run of form since Harris came in and took charge, and they are currently sat 10th. So to, you know, Stoke keeping a clean sheet. And we've said, haven't we, this last 4 or 5 weeks, how Stoke are slowly but surely picking up these points. And, you know, even though they are 19th now, it really does look like they could even finish around halfway if they keep up this momentum. They've now got 3 wins in their last 6. So, yeah, all the big wins for me at the bottom of the table, because there were plenty of fixtures down there what could have a, you know, real foothold in how the remainder of the season pans out. But, yeah, to touch at the top, we both know that, you know, West Brom's 3-0 away win at Bristol City was also huge. They're back to winning ways now, having won 4 of the last 5. So, yeah, sat first in the table. And then, you know, Leeds United again managed to get back-to-back wins with their 1-0 victory against Reading. So, again, big wins at the top of the table. And, you know, with Fulham slipping up as such, you could say that was a massive win for both West Brom and Leeds, keeping them, well, 5-point gap now between second and third. So, yeah, let's move on to players of the week, Jake. So what's your thoughts on any players you'd like to pick out?
Yeah, I've got a couple. I'm not going to go on too long. It's two players that scored braces this weekend. So I'm going for the attackers. Lyle Taylor. We haven't spoken about him too much on the podcast this season, but he's having a really, really good season at Cheltenham under the radar. His impact on the team when he's playing is so big. You know, he's such a natural goal scorer. It's his first season at this level, and he's got a really good return. 11 goals from 19 matches, only played 1,334 minutes, so he's up there in the goals per minute ratio. I think he's the best in that category with more than 10 goals, so showing that he is just so important to Cheltenham when he is on the pitch. Obviously there's a period of him out of the team, but he's now come back in, got 2 goals against Luton, got the winning goal a few weeks ago against Nottingham Forest, got a winner as well against Barnsley. So he's playing so well, and it's getting difficult to ignore his performances. I think without him, Cheltenham would really be struggling. So if he plays for the rest of the season and he's on the pitch and he doesn't have any more periods out of the team, I think Cheltenham will be fine, and he'll finish the season. Probably, I'd say he's on 11 goals now. I'd be surprised if he doesn't reach 15. 20 might be a little bit too far, but not beyond the realms of possibility. But yeah, I think he's going to get 15 goals. And I think next season there'll be teams nearer the top of the division that will be looking at him, because he's proven at this level now. And Cheltenham are a team that don't really keep hold of players very well. So he's definitely one that might be snapped up by a promotion chasing team next season.
Well, I think he's actually out of contract at the end of this season.
Exactly.
Surprised. Yeah. So I can't believe that they haven't renewed his contract as yet, because like you said, there'll be many clubs snipping around him, particularly with his goal ratio this season. So yeah, certainly Lyle Taylor for one of the players of the week this week.
Yes, and the other one I have is Adam Armstrong. I saw bits of the game on Saturday, early kickoff, Brentford Blackburn. It's a really, really good game, to be honest, as they often are when they involve Brentford. Blackburn went into a 2-0 lead. Armstrong getting both goals, one from the penalty spot. I thought the first was really good movement from him to get in behind off the long ball from the keeper. It was quite route one. You wouldn't expect a player of Armstrong's size to be getting these route one goals, but it was good movement from him, a good finish. And he continues to perform really well in this Blackburn team. And although they'll be a little bit disappointed that they didn't manage to get the 3 points, to get a point away to Brentford, it is huge for them. And it maintains their recent good record, 7 points from their last 9 available. They've got a good goal difference, plus 10. So, you know, if the race for those playoffs is so tight, that it's crucial to have that good goal difference. They do have it, and they'll be looking at these midweek games with Preston having a difficult game away to West Brom, Nottingham Forest also away from home against Cardiff, another team that's pushing for the playoffs. There's a real opportunity for Blackburn to make ground this midweek. So I think that they're definitely ones to watch for the playoffs. And I think Armstrong's a big reason for that. He's seems to be his breakout year at this level. He's got 11 goals, 6 assists, very versatile, scores some really good goals as well. And yeah, I just think he's definitely one that has got a future at a higher level. And he could have a big say on what happens over the rest of the season. If Blackburn do get into those playoffs, he's definitely the danger man in that team.
Yeah, definitely. I think I'd pick Adam Armstrong as my player of the week, to be honest. And I know you've touched on him, but it was just interesting that we mentioned him last week as well. And you were saying how he was excelling at the minute and doing so well. And then obviously managed to get that brace. But yeah, a couple more players I'd like to touch upon. Another player with a brace this weekend was Robson Kanu in their 3-0 win against Bristol City. It's not often that he, you know, tends to get on the score sheet as much as he used to for West Brom. I know coming off the bench, etc., etc. But I thought he played with full of confidence and, you know, worthy of his two goals. One was a tap-in, but his second goal was, it showed how confident he was at the minute, which was a fantastic finish when he probably could have squared it and they'd have still have scored. But to slam the ball home from where he did was he did really well there. And then another player I'd like to pick out was Lukas Jukovic, who scored a great goal against Sheffield Wednesday and managed to get an assist. He's got 13 goals for the season now. And again, a player where, you know, at this level, he's very good. He had a great partnership with Shea Adams, but again, he's proven this season that even on his own, he's still probably going to notch between 15 and 20 goals this season. And I think since Christmas, he scored the majority of goals. I think he scored 7 in his last 12 or 13 appearances for Birmingham or something like that. But in the same game, Forestieri, he had a great game. He was very much back to his best and managed to get a goal and assist as well, even though he's fighting for a contract at the minute because he's another player who is contract up in the summer. But that takes us into the topics, Jake. So I want to ask you, and we ask this question every season. I remember it doing on the pod last year, where we ask, is the Championship once again proving to be the most competitive league in Europe? What's your thoughts and feelings on that, given how the league's panning out again this year?
Yeah, it is always one of the most entertaining leagues, and you know, closest at the top of the table. There's always battles for relegation and battles for promotion. I think the one disappointment thing about the Championship this year is that if you look at the top two teams, although they were pulled back a few weeks ago, they've now got that nice healthy gap again. West Brom 9 points between them and Fulham, and Leeds have got a 5-point gap. So the fact those two teams are probably you know, the outstanding two teams in this league takes away a little bit from that. But when you look below that, you've got from probably Fulham down to, I'd say, Millwall down 11th for all going for playoff spots. So that makes for a really good end to the season in that respect. Even Fulham in third are not secure in those playoffs, and that's going to make for a really exciting finish to the season. You've got the relegation fight picking up again. Luton getting a couple of wins recently. Barnsley now getting a couple of wins. Wigan picking up points. You know, it's going to be a really entertaining end to the season, and it is one of the most entertaining leagues in terms of what there is to play for. If you look across Europe this year, there are a couple of leagues that are also showing some signs of competitiveness in the top flight. The Premier League, maybe not that in the title race, but in the Bundesliga, there's only 6 points separating first and fifth. You know, that's quite a close league, and there's been a lot of good football in that division this year. And Serie A is picking up again. So I think it's a difficult one. It depends what you're into. I think that the Championship is getting a lot better. You know, there's always, you know, any team can finish anywhere. If you'd have said at the start of the season that Blackburn would be competing for the playoffs, you might have thought that they wouldn't have the quality to do that. Stoke and Huddersfield, two teams that some would have tipped for the playoffs, are down fighting at the bottom. So it's so close, and it is a really good league to follow. One thing I would say that I thought was quite interesting that I read this week was, I think it was an article in The Athletic that talking about the chasm between the Championship and League One now, and that's growing to the point where it's similar to the Premier League and the Championship, which was quite an interesting read. I thought that there's definitely a signs that the Championship is leaving the leagues below behind. You know, if you look at Luton and Barnsley this season, they're struggling at the bottom of the table. Charlton as well, they're in 18th, but you'd probably say that there's a few games where they've won that they perhaps shouldn't have done, and that they're not performing so well. And those three teams are all struggling. So I don't know if this is going to be a theme that continues, or the teams coming up are not going to do as well. There's a few big clubs in League One, sorry, that would probably come up and do a good job, but you thought Charlton and would be that size of club, and they're sort of struggling, that still in a relegation fight. So yeah, I think it's been a really good season for the Championship. I think that the most entertaining part is probably that third to the 10 spots for me. I think they're the ones where the real excitement is. But and I think that the relegation fight will heat up in the next few weeks. But yeah, there's a lot of teams that I expected more from and we haven't seen. There's a few teams that, you know, I don't really have much of an interest in for the rest of the season, just purely because of their league position and what they're performing. You'd probably say Reading and Hull are two of those clubs that they're not really doing a lot now. They're sort of just treading water. QPR maybe, although they got that eye-catching win against Stoke a couple of weeks ago. But there's always stories in the Championship. The Wayne Rooney stuff is interesting. Leeds being in the league always adds a lot of media interest. So yeah, it's been a great league. It's much more entertaining than the Premier League and what you get on a week-by-week basis. But yeah, I think there's a few signs that we might be seeing a little bit more inequality in the league, and I'm not sure if that's a good thing.
Yeah, I get your point. Obviously, with all the money involved, that could become the case. But for me, yes, it is the most competitive league that I know of. I know you can go beyond Europe, but I just don't know about them leagues well enough to talk about them. But yeah, for me, the Championship, I just simply like the fact that anybody can beat anybody before the season starts. You know, you really could pick out 12, 13 teams that could potentially go up. And it's still the case now, even after 34 games gone. You could say anyone between West Brom and, you know, you could go right down to Derby in 13th, who are still in with a chance. You know, it is slim, but even 10 points or 11 points at this stage with 12 games to go, it's, you know, the calculations are still there that it can be done. And obviously at the bottom, it's been great at the bottom of the league this season as well. I still couldn't 100% tell you who's going to go down. You know, I'm pretty sure that Luton could be one of them, but in terms of Barnsley and Wigan that we touched upon, Huddersfield, Stoke, yeah, Charlton, you know, it could be any of those teams still. And for that reason, yeah, this is why I love the Championship. I think, you know, there's always element of surprises every week. Always plenty of goals as well. You know, plenty of teams come into this division from League One, and they just go at teams and play so much attacking football that it is great to watch. Like you say, it doesn't have the quality of the Premier League, and it never will do. You know, that's the case of being a second tier division. But in terms of competitiveness, yeah, it's absolutely fantastic. Whereas in the Premier League as such, and you could say it happens in, you know, La Liga and the Bundesliga, is that there's leagues within leagues in the top division. So obviously there's the top two, Liverpool, Man City, and then you've got the four or five teams, you know, looking to get in the top six, and then you've got another seven or eight teams, and then usually your bottom four. Whereas in the Championship, it's, yeah, all season pretty much until it gets to around this stage, is we always say, don't we, you can't look at the league table till Christmas. I think that, you know, you can say that more so in the Championship than you can the Premier League, that the Premier League tends to pan out after 10, 11 games, whereas in the Championship, it's, yeah, 26, 27, 28 games where you can really get an indicator of where teams are going to finish. But then even, you know, form teams like we talk about who get in the playoffs, like Aston Villa last season, they were still around 10th, 11th at this stage of the season and found that form and managed to go up via the playoffs. And, you know, and this season, even though they're near the foot of the table in the Premier League, have managed to get to a cup final. So it does show you that they are real quality sides in this division, and it really is, you know, a fight week in, week out against sides that are generally as as good as each other. So, yeah, fantastic league for me, and one of the best in Europe, if not the world. So that takes us into our next topic, Jake. And I've got a few questions for you, or the question is, should I say, if you had to make three bets based on the remainder of this season that you'll be almost certain of happening, what would they be? So do you want me to shout out the one I've got initially just to get things rolling?
Yeah, you go for yours and I'll...
Yeah, so first and foremost, this might seem very obvious, but for me, undoubtedly the best team in the division is West Brom. And for me, that they are going to go up via automatic this season. I think that they've had their dip, which we've seen in the past month, where they didn't manage to win in about five or six games, plenty of draws in there. But, you know, having come out of that dip and now suddenly won, five out of their last six games, winning four of those, I really think that, yes, you know, with the players they brought in January as well, Robinson, Gruzicki, for me, yeah, if someone gave me 50 quid and said put a bet on a team going up this season, even though the odds would be slim, West Brom for me, 100% going up this season. You probably agree, but I'd like to hear your next bet, and then I'd go after you as well, Jake, again.
All right, so if we're going almost certain, I'm not going to go for anything crazy like my Preston pick last year. I'll go for Sheffield Wednesday to finish in the bottom half of the table.
Okay, yeah, that's probably almost guaranteed as well. And I'm guessing that's without a points deduction as well.
Yes, without one.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, they're currently 12th, but I don't think you're going to get any higher.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I can't, you know, even being a Wednesday fan, say that, you know, Sheffield Wednesday, the form that we've been on, we have been so inconsistent all season, but then just, you know, poor at the minute. It was good to see actually them score three goals against Birmingham and put up a bit of fight, but at the same time, we've only come away with a point. So, you know, at this stage, I'd love to see Sheffield Wednesday even play poor but get a win, because we are just on a slippery slope at the minute, and I don't, yeah, you know, we shouldn't creep towards the bottom three or anything like that, but yeah, to stake that as a bet, Jake, yeah, you'd probably be getting your money back on that one, I believe. So my next bet would be, I'm going to put it out there, and I've said it all season, that for me, Brentford are one of my favourite teams in this division, you know, away from Sheffield Wednesday, our support. So I just, you know, Ollie Watkins, Ben Rama, these players I think are absolutely incredible. Week in, week out, I enjoy watching them and watching their highlights. And, you know, you could say that I'm being biased slightly, because I've just got a thing for Brentford being like a, not being a big club, and obviously their recruitment and the process that they've got within the club of bringing in great players. I've just got a soft spot for them. So my bet would be that if they don't go up via the automatics this season, they find themselves 6 points behind Leeds United at present, is that they would get to the playoff final. I'm not going to say that they're going to win it, because it's the playoff final's a lottery, but my bet this season is, it's not almost certain, but my bet would be that Brentford get to the playoff final and finish firmly in the playoffs this season as well. So yeah, you again, Jake.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go for a slightly riskier one with my next one, but I think I'm going to go for Blackburn to finish in the playoffs.
Okay.
Out of Nottingham Forest, Preston, Bristol City, Blackburn, Swansea, Cardiff, I think Blackburn are the best team out of those, so that I will be tipping Blackburn to get into the playoffs.
Yeah, and if you were to put that bet on, actually, you might get decent odds at this stage. I know you said last week as well that you expected Blackburn to get into the top six this season. You just didn't know whether they'd manage to stay there after 46 games. But again, yeah, it'd be interesting to see the odds on that. Something that I will look out for. My final bet would be, and I've changed this actually while we've been discussing this, I've said all season, 110%, that Wigan Athletic would go down. But for whatever reason, they just, at the minute, seem to be proving me wrong. They've only lost one game in six, so I've changed it from Wigan to Luton. So my bet would be that this season now, given the fact that they just lost to Charlton 3-1 away and they find themselves 6 points adrift off Huddersfield, I think even though 6 points doesn't sound a lot, with a side in Luton who've only won 9 all season and conceded 69 goals, I think it's just too far adrift. So my almost certain bet would be that Luton Town get relegated this season.
Yeah, and I think that my next one is that...
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Difficult. I'm going to go for Stoke to stay up. I think they're still only 3 points in it, but they're not going to go down, are they? They've been much improved under Michael O'Neill. Still in somewhat of a false position because if you'd have... You know, if you have a league table from the managerial change, they'd be a lot higher up, probably in the top half. So, yeah, they will be staying up.
Would you push to say Stoke to finish in the top half? What are your thoughts on that one?
I don't think I'd... No, I think there's too many points there. Too many points, especially with the improvement that Birmingham and Derby are showing. Yeah, I don't think they will. But I think they're going to finish higher than 15th. Definitely.
Cool. Yeah, some interesting thoughts there. I like doing that, Jake. So that's something we can consider for the future and doing that again. But that takes us into thoughts and feelings. So, yeah, go ahead with a team of your choice. Any reason you'd like to pick them out in for, you know, in particular?
Yeah, I think I'm going to go for Birmingham here. Really thought they were going to struggle this year. Just went for a stage... Start the season, just always tip against them. Didn't think that Pep Clotet was going to be a good appointment. I thought that they'd made a mistake by letting Gary Monk go. I thought I couldn't see where it was going, really. But they've been really good recently. And I thought I expect them to beat Sheffield Wednesday, as everybody seems to have been doing recently, but they didn't manage to do so. But even so, they managed to fight back, get a point there. And they're showing some really good attacking signs that they previously haven't had. I think if you know, obviously Che Adams left last summer, but if you look at Djukovic, again, just showing how consistent he is in this division. 13 goals, he's one that other clubs will probably look at now. I think he's proven once again at this level that he's so consistent. 13 goals, 3 assists, very good. Probably one of the signings of the January window in Scott Hogan. 4 goals in 5 games. Looks to be back to his best. He's obviously flew onto the scene at Brentford. He's had spells at Villa, various other loan spells. Never really quite clicked for him, but it seems to be going well for him at Birmingham. And I'm hoping that this continues for him. I think that Gary Gardner has been very good in recent weeks. I think that he's really thriving in that midfield too. I think he's coming into his best form. I think Jude Bellingham is obviously one of the most exciting players in the world right now, not even in this league. He's so exciting to watch, and just how consistent he is, the attacking threat he shows, his defensive qualities as well. He's not going to be at Birmingham City next season, and if he is, he's not going to be a permanent Birmingham City player. He's definitely going to go to in a big money transfer this summer. Hopefully they'll get him back on loan so he can continue playing, as we've seen what's happened to Ryan Sessegnon on this season. But yeah, he's been excellent. And I think Clark Soucher as well, he's coming in and he's really improved the defence and seems to be fulfilling his potential despite the 3 goals conceded at the weekend. But yeah, I'm really optimistic about what Birmingham are showing. I think they're going to finish the season strongly. I just think they've got a really good blend of players there. They seem to have have found a team that works. I think the biggest weakness in that team, Lee Camp, I'd never really rated him as a goalie, to be honest. I think he's quite a big weakness. But aside from that, they've got a really exciting team. I think that Djukovic and Hogan looks to be a front two that could cause real problems for any team in this division. You know, you've got that target man and that smaller striker that makes runs. It's very much a throwback to former days. But yeah, I think that I've been impressed with Clotet. I think he's, after what he did at Oxford as a number one, he wasn't very good there in the lower divisions. I thought that it was brave for Birmingham to give him the job, but he's run with it. He's changed his style. I think they're a lot more entertaining to watch now than they were under Gary Monk. And yeah, I think that, yeah, they're going to, if they avoid another deduction, I know they've still got FFP stuff rumbling on. I think they could finish the season in the top half, and I think that would be a represent a really good season for them and give them something to push on from. So yeah, it's exciting for Birmingham, although that's always asterisked with the financial stuff and the potential for what could go wrong there. But yeah, I think they've had a really good last couple of months. I think they were maybe a threat of them being dragged in before, but no, they've pulled clear of that. Can't see them getting pulled into the bottom, and I think they'll finish higher than they currently are. So yeah, it's been a good couple of months for them, and yeah, I'm excited to see where it goes from here.
Yeah, they're definitely one of the form teams in the division. I think it's 8 games unbeaten now. So yeah, you've got to, at this stage when it can be difficult, particularly in the bottom half, you've got to give him credit for that. So yeah, and I agree with you in the fact that I think Hogan and Djukovic will make a great front two pairing if long as obviously they continue playing up front together. But my thoughts and feelings, I'm going to discuss for the same reason that I did last week. I touched on Middlesbrough, is Huddersfield Town. I kept saying, didn't I, Middlesbrough and Huddersfield both need to start looking off over the shoulder when worrying. Well, again, the reason I'm going to touch on Huddersfield is because Danny Cowley came in, didn't he? The old reason that he came in was to, you know, survive this season and progress. And you know, that has got to be the main aim still for the remainder of the season. Then, you know, he's got the summer and take Huddersfield on from there. But it's got to the point now where, you know, 2 points off Wigan, who were sat in 22nd. I do fear for Huddersfield a little bit. Thinking that, you know, it really could go down to the wire this, and if they have just an element of bad luck, that, yeah, you know, they could end up in League One, and you know, where do you go from there? Because we've seen teams most recently go down to that division and really struggle and not come straight back up. So yeah, Huddersfield Town for me, and Danny Cowley, yeah, really need to pull the finger out now. It's time to, in many ways, do what Stoke have done. I know they're only 1 point ahead of them, but Stoke, for me, are going to continue climbing that table slowly and, like you say, maybe finish 15th, 16th. Huddersfield, I'm not so sure about. I've still got real doubts about them. I know they've slowly started to pick up points. They've got 2 wins in the last 6, but the worry is that Luton, Barnsley, Wigan have been performing better in this last 3-4 weeks. So they've, you know, the gap's got even closer. So yeah, Huddersfield Town, I don't know where they'd be this season without Carlin Grant, who's managed to score 13 goals. Or I could say, yeah, I do. They'd be in the bottom three. And for me, yeah, it's not going to be good for Danny Cowley if they were relegated this season, because he could end up, and Huddersfield could end up in that division for a long time. So yeah, they just need to, instead of keep looking over the shoulder, like I keep saying, it's time to get some points on the board, whatever they can do, even if it means not, you know, playing fantastic football. It's the result what matters, and getting that ball over the line. So it really needs to happen now for them. But yeah, that'll take us into previews and predictions, Jake. So all these fixtures, 3 key fixtures, all Saturday at 3 p.m. Starting near the top of the table. So it's Fulham versus Preston. What's your prediction for this?
It's going to be a really, really good game. It's going to tell us a lot about both teams, I think. I'm still not certain about Fulham. Still not certain about Preston. Both teams are quite inconsistent, although Preston's recent record is probably slightly better with 3 wins in the last 4. They've got West Brom to play this evening as we record, so that could quickly change. But yeah, I think you've got to be looking at Fulham as the winners here.
Mm-hmm.
I think they've just got the better players. I think Preston away from home always strike me as slightly dodgy. Never quite trust them away from home. So yeah, I think I'm gonna go for Fulham. I think they're gonna get back to winning ways at home. So yeah, I'm gonna go for Fulham 2-0.
Yeah, I'm gonna go 2-1 Fulham. I'm simply backing Fulham because I generally back Fulham at home in this division. We know they can turn it on. Not many teams will go to Craven Cottage and get a win. And even Preston, who were a great team in this division, you know, we know how well they play under Alex Neil and deservedly in the playoff hunt at the minute. But I just think, yeah, Fulham will have too much for them on the day. So yeah, 2-1 to me for that one. Then at the foot of the table, another big one, you could say a six-pointer in many ways, but it's Luton versus Stoke. What's your prediction for this?
Oh, I think this is a must-win game for Luton. If they are to get out of it, they've got Brentford in the week, so if we're taking predictions on that one before it's happened, you'd probably expect them not to get anything from that. Mm-hmm. It's huge that they get something from this against Stoke. Stoke, a team that they've got to keep close to them, even if we don't think Stoke are going to go down. We've got to think that the teams in the bottom three are hoping that they will. So this is a huge game. I think Luton have got some quality in attack. They're not so bad defensively anymore. Although they conceded 3 against Charlton, they kept back-to-back clean sheets before that. Stoke, a dodgy one, really. You think that they found their form and then they go and lose. Be really interesting. I think I'm going to tip Stoke to win. I'm going to go 2-1 Stoke, but yeah, if Luton ended up winning, I don't think it would shock me in the way that it should, really.
Yeah, it's a difficult one to predict this because I was swaying towards Stoke, but then I've decided to go with a 1-1 draw. I think Luton, something about Luton at home, I know that they can score goals and play really good football. So, yeah, I was edging towards Stoke, but one ward would keep us guessing for the remainder of the season again who's going to go down. And if Luton were to get the win, then it'd open up that mix again completely. So, yeah, it would be very interesting if they got the victory. But, yeah, for me, I'll you know, with Stoke being on a decent run of form lately, I'm going to go 1-1 in that one. And then top versus near the bottom would be West Brom. Brom versus Wigan. I know it's probably obvious to predict a West Brom win, but in this one, it's still a big game for both sides. So what's your prediction for this?
Yeah, as I mentioned earlier when we spoke about Wigan, they haven't won 35 of their last 38 away games. So 3 wins yeah. out of 38. They're not going to go to West Brom and win. They're not even going to go there and get anything from it. It's a West Brom win. Wigan's home form is going to be the one that decides whether they stay up or not. Mm-hmm. And if they can take maximum points at home, but yeah, they're not winning at West Brom. I'm going to go 3-0 West Brom. It's not even going to be close.
Yeah, I've got to agree with you on that one. I've gone 2-0 to West Brom. I don't even see Wigan probably scoring. I just think, yeah, West Brom are just going to be too strong for them. And I agree with you in the fact that Wigan are going to survive only on their home form, which we've talked about previously. But with that, Jake, we're out of time. So if you'd like to let our listeners know where they can find you, now would be a good time.
Yeah, you can get me on Twitter at JakeJack with 2 N's. I work for EPL Index and various other sites that I'll post about on my Twitter if you follow me there. Also appear on the Premier League show. So give that one a listen. And yeah, just cheers for listening.
Yeah, thanks, Jake. I've been your host at Louis Shackshaft, but more importantly, remember to follow the show at Championship Pod, where we upload each show and keep that on our pin tweet. We want to thank you all for listening and we will catch you next time.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.